Jeremiah chapter 36, where we're at this morning, Jeremiah 36. If you're in need of a Bible this morning, please raise your hand. The ushers are going to walk down the aisle just briefly to make sure you have a Bible that you might study with us. Just raise your hand. We'd count it a privilege to give you one. If you're just borrowing it, drop it off on the way out. But if you need to keep it, it's yours. There's no charge for it, of course. It's all yours. Take it, use it. Or maybe you know someone that needs one, pass it on to them. Again, no charge. And for all of us, we're in Jeremiah chapter 36 this morning. I was watching Terry with Brown Bear, and I have to admit that I hope you were like me. I just say, Lord, make me a brown bear. Now, I don't mean, I'm not saying let's all go dumpster diving. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, Lord, let me be just an instrument like that in a sense. Lord, just fill me with your words and let me move at your direction. And Lord, just kind of make me a brown bear for you. And I pray that's all our prayer this morning. Jeremiah 36, starting in verse 1. Jeremiah 36, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Let me just explain for those that might be visiting. We travel through the Bible here at Calvary Chapel. I'm not saying that's unique to us, but we do join in with those churches that do that. We travel through the Bible so that over a period of time we're exposed to the whole counsel of God. It keeps us from getting off on a little side trips and pet doctrines and all. We just track through the whole Word of God together. That's what we do on Sunday nights. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll be gathering at 6 o'clock to travel through a couple of chapters here in Jeremiah. Now, on Sunday morning, we take a portion of what we're looking at Sunday night and we're zeroing in a little closer way. So that's what we're doing this morning. We're here in chapter 36 of Jeremiah. Now, if you've been with us or if you've studied Jeremiah before, you know that Jeremiah is a book about a people who have basically continually turned their back on the Lord. In spite of his goodness, in spite of his love for them, they had long ago decided they wouldn't have God rule over them. They had gotten into horrible, horrible practices, bringing in the practices of the pagan nations around them, and it included some very horrible things. In essence, they've sown the seeds of their own destruction, and they're about to reap it. God is using a neighbor of theirs, the Babylonians, to come in and to destroy, lay waste the land, the city of Jerusalem, and take the people captive. And that's right about to happen. They've invaded the land. They're right there at the doorstep of Jerusalem. And yet through it all, God has continually called them back to him. Just turn around. The way you're going will get you nowhere good. I know you think you know better. You keep hanging on to that steering wheel, but it's not going to work. You're going to reap horrible things. So God continually calls out to them. And yet, how lightly some of them have treated this call. It's an amazing thing. It's as if it were involving a really small matter. Oh, of some interest, but no big deal. Others outright have mocked and rejected the message that God was sending to Jeremiah. And yet through it all, there's been this call. He was calling them, return, receive, live. Why will you not turn and live and be free from the bondage you're going to be experiencing? You see, it's all from the heart of God. And we learn he's not out to get them, but he loves them. And in verse 3 we read, It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities that I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. The Lord says, Tell them this, Jeremiah. Tell them about this, because it may be that they'll turn around. It may be that they'll choose to follow me. And so I today have the privilege of passing that on to you. And setting before you that same statement from the Lord. That maybe today will be that day. It may be today that you finally quit fighting God and receive Him. It may be that today will be your day of salvation. For those of you who are believers, followers of Christ, it may be the day that you come back. Maybe today you recognize that you're in that you're a prodigal, you're in that pig pen. You've got there by your own choices, you made some decisions, you went with some relationships you shouldn't have, you got in some things you shouldn't have, and you recognize that, what am I doing? I'm like the prodigal. I'm getting out of the pig pen and going home. It may be your coming home day today. It may be, believer, that no, you're not a prodigal, but you know there's parts of your life that you are holding back from God. You know there hasn't been a full surrender. You know that you still think, truth be told, that you know the better way. That you really can steer this car of your life. It may be that God will speak to your heart today and show you that He's got better. I've called our time today based on that statement from verse 3 here. It may be. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this privilege of worshiping You, gathering in You, sharing, Lord, just the love and the fellowship we have because of You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You've drawn us here not just for the fellowship around us, but for fellowship with You. You've drawn us here that we might hear not just from one another, but from You. Oh, Lord, You know the things that get in the way of that. Indeed, You've purposed us to look at these things because it may be today that there is salvation, return, surrender. Lord, in You, we find the healing and the hope and the answers and the encouragement we seek. Nowhere else. Not in our church attendance and nothing like that, Lord. It's not our being good, Lord. It's in fellowship with You. Lord, draw us close. Help our hearts to hear Your heart. Lord, speak, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look again at verses 1 through 3 here. It opens saying that it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So that gives us the time and history we're at here. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, take a scroll of a book. So take a parchment. Take a big piece of parchment here. And write on it all the words that I've spoken to you against Israel, Judah, and the nations. From the day that I first spoke to you until today. Write it all down, Jeremiah. Because it may be that they'll hear me. Maybe they'll get it. Maybe they'll let go. Maybe they'll turn around. We learn right away here that this is a message that didn't start with Jeremiah. Verse 1 says that it's a word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So what we're considering this morning reveals the heart of God. Jeremiah isn't just making this up. It's God speaking through Jeremiah. Verse 2, he says, write it all down, all the words that I have spoken to you from the very beginning when I began to use you, Jeremiah. So again, these are all the words. These are the words of the Lord. And what is the word? What is the message he wants them to record? First of all, it's a message of warning. He says, tell the people, if they keep going this way, it's not going to be good. It's like yelling out to a people going down a river in a boat. And you know there's a gigantic waterfall around the corner. Yell out to them. Warn them the way they're going will get them nowhere good. There's destruction ahead. So it's a warning to them. But it's also a message of mercy. Because that's what the warning is about. Turn that you might be forgiven. Let me forgive your iniquity. Let me forgive your sin. Turn around. So here's the message that he gives them, gives Jeremiah to pass on to them. Well, let's read what happens next. Verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote on a scroll of the book at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. So Baruch is like, Jeremiah's dictating it, and Baruch's writing it down for him. So it's coming from the Lord, through Jeremiah, Baruch's writing it down on the parchment. Verse 5, and Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am confined. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. and you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord has pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Neriah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book of the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. So Jeremiah delivers this message from God through Baruch to the people. Now I want to just summarize some of these following verses here. See, we're not told in the text the reaction of the people, but we are told that in the audience is a man who, when he hears this, he runs and tells all the princes, the leaders of the nation. He runs and tells them what Jeremiah said. Hey, you ought to hear what Jeremiah is proclaiming over there in the house of the Lord. Well, the princes in turn do indeed want to hear this. They call these words to be read to them. They want to hear it for themselves. We read of their reaction further on in verse 16, if you look there just a moment. Now it happened when they had heard all the words, they looked in fear from one to another and said to Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. So as now the princes are hearing what the Lord is saying, it says they all look around each other in fear. They're going, whoa, this is heavy stuff. We need to go tell the king about this. And so indeed, they run off to tell the king now. Let's pick up the story in verse 20. And they went to the king and to the court. But they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elisha, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elisha, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood before the king. Now watch what the king does. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened, when Jehudi had read three or four columns, that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, and Gemariah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. That's probably enough for that part. What's the king's reaction here? Basically, he begins to hear what God is saying to Jeremiah, and he doesn't want to hear it. He takes it and says, and he takes the scribe's knife, and he starts cutting up the parchment, cutting up the scroll, and he throws it into the fire that was there on the hearth and in the fireplace in the king's palace there. He just throws the word of God into the fire. Basically, it symbolizes he's rejecting the word of God. Of course, what a sad reaction. Always a sad reaction, not just in that time, but always. And yet, how like some today this is. It's not just a historical lesson, of course, though important it is in that way, but also just speaks to us. People today, they hear what God is saying, or at least begin to, but then they choose to deal with it much as the king here, and that is they try to deal with the word of God by trying to cut it up, so to speak. What I mean is, they begin to try to cut up the word of God with their tongue. They begin to mock the word of God, make fun of the word of God. They use their mouth to disparage it. So they use their tongues as knives to cut up the word of God. Some take the word of God and they try to burn the word of God, burn it on the fires of the hearts of unbelief, just their hard hearts. And so we see it's a reaction, unfortunately, of too many and how they deal with what God would say to them. Well, the point here, of course, is the king may think that this ends the issue. Well, I'll just burn up the parchment and that'll settle it. But the reality, of course, is far from that. Look what happens next. Go to verse 27. Now, after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you burn this scroll, saying, what have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. I will punish him, his family, and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and on the men of Judah all the doom that I have pronounced against them, but they did not heed. Oh, the folly of rejecting God's word. Though the king destroyed the words written on paper, yes, he took this scroll and he threw them on the fire, he burned them up. That had no effect upon the message from God. You see, it was not the scroll of the book that the king had to deal with. It was the God of the book that the king had to deal with. The paper can easily be cut into pieces. The messenger may be thrown into prison. But you can't destroy nor imprison the word of God. Peter, he was quoting from Isaiah chapter 40. There we go. And he said, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of a man is the flower of the grass. In other words, man's passing away quickly. The grass withers, and his flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Then he adds, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So he's talking here about the sureness of God's word. Jesus himself described in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Everything around you will pass away, but if you're holding your Bible, this will not pass away. In terms of the message, in terms of the intent of God, what God says he's going to do, he will do. The way he set it up, that's the way it is. No man is done with God's word just because he rejects it and destroys it. Because that same word will yet judge that person. Strong words, I realize, but important for us to think about. A man might as well try to change the weather by breaking a thermometer as to relieve his soul by rejecting God's message. The unbelief of some will not make the word of God of no effect. It will not change God's mind and his intentions, his heart. It is sure, it is forever. Just know this, believer, and rest assured in that. It's an awesome thing. The word of God will not be destroyed. Oh, someone might burn a copy of the word. A person can take a Bible and cut it up or throw it in a fire. They can burn a copy of the recording of it. But that's what this is. Awesome as that is, it's a recording of that. But just because you burn the ink on the pages, the recording of it, doesn't cause God and his word to go away. It doesn't change it. It'll go on forever. You can burn a copy of the Bible, but the message of God cannot be destroyed. So let me say this. If you see someone burn a Bible, yes, weep. But don't weep as if God's word, oh, God's word is destroyed. God's word is gone. Don't weep for that. That wouldn't be true. Don't weep for God's message. Weep for the one burning it. Weep for that nation that tries to destroy it. Weep for that nation that mocks the word of God. Weep for that nation that would try to dilute the word of God or ignore the word of God. Weep for that nation, that people, that person. That's the truly sad thing. Of course it's sad to see them remove God's word from a public building. And there's nothing wrong for us saying, wait a minute, that doesn't represent us. We want that there. Nothing wrong with if we as a majority can have it stay there, great. But if the root of the Ten Commandments, do you really think removing the Ten Commandments from the courthouse isn't a statement about God? It's a statement about us. It's a statement about the people doing that. Weep for a nation that would do that. That's the sad thing. God's still on the throne. His word's still in effect. The sad thing is the people who think that by removing it, somehow they're not accountable to it. How sad that is and how incorrect it is. You see, you can imprison John the Baptist. You can imprison Jeremiah. You can imprison the Apostle Paul. You can martyr Peter. You can even crucify Jesus. But know this, he is risen. And he's alive. And his word is alive. And what man tries to do to it is only a statement about man, not God. Weep and pray for a nation that would be like that. People think they can change it and dilute it and make it say all these other things they want to. And they act like you can take a vote and decide what God's saying. That's sad. But God's word's still in effect. It still is what it is. And that's what he was declaring to them, and we need to make sure we hear. So what is that message? What is that message that is so sure? What is the message that isn't going to change? Everything else will pass away, but God's word won't. Well, that brings us to what's really on my heart for this morning. We've really kind of taken some time. It was necessary. We've set the table. But now look at the very beginning again of chapter 36, verse 3. Go to chapter 36, verse 3 again. Where we read, after the Lord tells Jeremiah, tell the people this, warn them, call to them. In verse 3, it says, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the things that are going to come their way, and maybe they'll turn, that I may forgive them. I'm really drawn to this verse this morning. As I was preparing for this morning, I found myself just keep coming back to it. And it might seem like a very simple thing, and it is in terms of the wording and being able to understand it, and yet it's such a very awesome, deep thing. Where the Lord here declares, it may be. Think of the years, the decades of rebellion that these people have stuck in God's face. As they virtually stuck out their tongue at him and went their own way, and not just, well, there's no big deal. It is. But the things they got into. Horrible practices. Yet, once again we read in this chapter, as we have been reading through here, we read of the Lord still loving, still calling, trying to get their attention, trying to win them back to him, trying to get them to turn around before they destroy themselves. No one could have blamed God for saying, you know what, just let them just go. Just let them go. But he's not like that. He keeps calling to them, turn around. Come back. Offering to them the only real cure for the spiritual illness that they and we have. Because as it is for them, so it is with us. God pursuing us. What an awesome, stunning thing that is. And if it doesn't hit you, if it doesn't stun you, then I don't know what to say. Have you gotten used to it? Oh yeah, God loves me and he wants to forgive me and I'll think about it, but I got a lot to do today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe I'll deal with it tomorrow. And yeah, there's some parts of my life I need to get straight, but hey, he's always there and maybe later. Don't bug me. Got things I want to do. Or maybe we just kind of go, well, it's neat, but I know it's kind of a heavy thing I'm saying today, but I'm talking about myself too, but let's face it. We get pretty excited. I went to a Padres game the other night and I got to admit, boy, we get pretty excited. And I see people go nuts over a baseball game. But it comes to the Word of God. If it doesn't excite you, if it doesn't cause you to really want to worship, then we need a heart examination or something. From the moment man fell in the garden, from the moment man said, nope, I'm going to go my own way, don't want you to rule over me, even though you said not to do this, I'm going to do it anyway. From the moment man fell in the Garden of Eden, God has extended a call to man. From the very moment we hear God saying, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Now, it's not that God lost Adam and couldn't find him. Adam, where'd I put Adam at? No, it was for Adam's sake. Adam, where are you? In essence, saying, what have you done? Look where you're at now. Look what has gotten between us. Look what your sin has caused. Spiritual death, separation, distance. Now you're not able to experience my plan I have for you. Adam, where are you? And down through the ages, down to today, we hear God continually calling, Adam, where are you? Calling you, what's happened? What's gotten between us? What happened, believer, to the fire? What happened to the surrender, the commitment? What happened, Adam? Adam, where are you today? Really stop and look at it, because it may be today you'll come back. It may be today will be the day of saying, I'm not going to let that be like that any longer. God pursuing us. And I'm speaking of myself, that God would pursue me. And he would find this young man in the state I was in. I know me, at least the degree that I do know myself, I would have destroyed my marriage. I would have destroyed my family. I would have thrashed everybody around me, including myself. Bible says no one really knows their heart, but I know this, to the degree I do know my heart, it is not pretty without God's help. And that's true for you too. True for all of us. But God didn't leave me there, but he pursued me and found me and brought me to him. I just stand in awe of that. The Bible reveals the character of God. So what do we learn from Jeremiah 36 in these opening verses here? Among other things, we learn this. We learn that God longs to forgive us. Keep telling them, Jeremiah, and I say this by God's mercy and grace, Dale, keep telling them. You keep telling them. Because it may be that they'll receive. That God, keep telling them that God longs to forgive us. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not out to get you. He's trying to save you. And believer, God's not trying to rip you off. He's got the best for you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If God were out to get you, if God wanted to keep you away from him, if God didn't want you to spend eternity with him, if God was just looking, a lot of people think God's just looking for them to blow it. One reason, you're out. You see, if God wants you out, if God doesn't want you to be with him, if God wants you lost forever, you know what he had to do? Nothing. We were already there. We were already headed for hell. He sent his son. Let's look at a few more. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that we were still sinners. Christ died for us. We weren't looking for him. We weren't seeking him. We were all about us. But yet, while we were in that place, he sent his son to die for us. Then, of course, got to say it. It's famous because of what it contains. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He's not out to get us, but that the world through him might be saved. He's out to save us. So here we sit. Have you heard? Have you heart heard God's message from the beginning? I want to forgive you. No matter what you've done, no matter what. And we've all need it. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Some of us know that real quick. I need it. Others think, I'm a good person. I'm glad you're a good person, but that has nothing to do with getting to heaven. Well, I hang out with the right people. I don't cuss. I don't cheat. I haven't killed anybody all week. I'm a good person. I'm glad. But again, that's not how you get into heaven. It's what you do with the cross. It's what you do with what Jesus did for you. You have to personally receive it. Tell them, the Lord would say, it may be that they'll receive it and live. If you have not heard this, if you've not received of it, then today there's an invitation. Remember, this was a warning. They were on the wrong path. They thought they knew what's best. They thought this would get them in the right place, but it wasn't. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the way thereof leads to death. And he's warning them, there are consequences. God gives us choice. He will not violate your free will. It's your choice. That's why he's saying it may be, because he's putting the ball in their court. If you don't turn to Jesus, there will be an eternity separate from God. It's called hell, and you don't want to be there. And God doesn't want you there. That's why, that's what we just read. That's why he sent his son, to deliver us from that. But there's also some really good consequences if you do choose him, if you do receive from him. If you will turn, he will forgive. Forgive you of your iniquity. Forgive you of your sin. He'll give you life eternal. You'll begin to discover purpose and meaning for life. Joy, peace, comfort as you look to him. But now I turn to those of us who have received of the Lord. Those of us who we would call ourselves believers, followers. You've received, you've heard it and received it. Let me ask you something. What effect does all of that have on you today? He said life and life more abundant. I suggest that to the degree that you're not living the abundant life reflects that you're still holding on to something. You're still holding on to the steering wheel. There's still that part that thinks that you know best. And so I wonder if it might be the day for you to let go of everything. Yes, believer, you might be the prodigal. You need to come home. There's a call. See, if you don't come home, the consequence is you'll get beat up. Pig pens are not fun places. And you're getting ripped off by the world, by the enemy. And the Lord would say, come home. If we don't walk with him, if we don't abide in him, we can't bear fruit. It's in obeying that we're blessed. It's in abiding that we have fruitful lives. And that's the positive side of this. If we will just yield those things, we can experience this full work. I wonder if our Lord isn't speaking to some here today. You know him, but you also know you're not walking close to him. For some, it's full-on pig pen experience. For others, it's just areas of our lives we're still hanging on to. Still saying, well, Lord, let me keep that thing, or let me be involved in that, or let me hang out with them, or whatever it might be. You know. I encourage you. It may be that today you come home. You see, there's only one home for your heart. It's his heart. God is so very good. He's offering us life and that more abundantly. And so the question right now becomes, what will be your response? The psalmist, Psalm 116, he said, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Should I go down to the church and volunteer a lot of hours to work? No, doesn't say that one. I'll be really good. How do I say thank you to God? What does he want? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. See, the psalmist there is learning what David learned. David in Psalm 51, for you do not desire sacrifice or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God, what he's looking for, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. What shall I give God? What does he want? It's interesting. God doesn't need my money. He's not broke. Contrary to some people who might try to tell you. Send in your money today. God's ministry's going down the tubes unless you give. No, God's not broke. And God's not really in need of my intelligence. God, let me tell you how to run things. No. What is it God wants? God wants the only thing really that he doesn't have automatically, and that's me. When he made you and me, he let go of us in that way. He let go of our heart and said, now, you know what, if this is going to really be love, you're going to have to choose this one. I'm going to let you choose who you belong to, what you do with that heart, what you do with that life that I've given you. I've given you free will. And so what is it he's seeking? What is he so lovingly seeking? Your heart. It may be that today you come home to your heart's home. It may be that you receive. It really hits me. God's continual desire to forgive them and to forgive us. Chapter after chapter, year after year, he would call them. And as it was for them, so it is for us. So the Lord tells Jeremiah, you tell them. And through all of this, he's telling us in verse 3, it may be. Now the ball's in your court. I'm going to invite the worship team up. But I'd like us all to think about it a moment, because you're going to have an opportunity to respond. It may be. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do you receive that? Do you understand that? It may be God's calling you today. It may be that someone here today will say, Lord, I'm going to receive what you did on the cross. I've never really got this issue settled. I've resisted. I've kicked against it. I didn't want to hear it. I've been like this king. I thought I could cut it up. But I realized whether I ignore it or whatever, anything else, it's still in effect, and I have to receive it. It may be a day of salvation for someone here. I pray it would be if you need to be. But I also speak to you believers. You know, good old J. Vernon McGee, he's a Bible commentator, home with the Lord now, but I read this, and this isn't an exact quote, but I remember reading this week. He said, you know, we think it's a horrible thing when this king would burn the word of God, and of course it is. But he said, you know, he said, I read today that the Bible is still the best-selling book out there. He said, but I'm not impressed. Because too many of those Bibles just collect dust. And he said, it's no worse letting a Bible collect dust than it is to burn it in terms of its net effect. The end result is it's not followed. It's not received. It's not soaked in and doesn't have that effect God wants it to have. So he's speaking to believers. Is God's word collecting dust? Maybe it's your day to come home. It may be your day to return, prodigal. And lastly, it might be your day, believer, you're not a prodigal, but there's a part of your life. And not necessarily even the area where it's, quote, sin, just a place you've been hanging on to. That he's saying, hey, it's time to let go of everything. Time to give me all of you. It may be your day to truly surrender all. So we're going to give you an opportunity right now. While the team leads us in a song, if you'd like prayer for any of those things, come up front, and there'll be prayer partners, and we'd love to pray with you. But let's take a moment and just, I encourage you, do business with God right now. Let him speak to you. And if you feel that God nudging you, then come down front and let us pray for you.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my life, Jesus. Jesus, be the center. Be my home, be my soul, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in the sails, be the reason.
Let's all stand. We're going to sing another chorus. Don't want to rush out. I want to give you an opportunity. Again, if you'd like prayer, come on down front, let us pray. Father, you do see us right now, and you know if anybody might be struggling with this or going back and forth. Lord, help just overcome all that with your love. Just overcome any resistance that might be there, Lord. Just help. That's the very core of this whole thing, Lord, is just saying, Lord, here I am. So, Lord, if someone needs to say that, draw them by your love, Lord. Thank you for this offer. I pray that no one would come short of receiving it. Speak to hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Again, come down front if you'd like prayer for any of these things.